If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 17 to 19. As we continue in our series, Why Jesus? Ephesians chapter 3, 17 to 19. Paul writes, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for the way that you love us and the way that you've shown it, Lord, a billion times over. I pray, Lord, you just give us this morning just another glimpse, just a little bit more understanding, Lord, in that kind of love that surpasses knowledge that we're going to try to figure out for the rest of eternity. Pray to come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last March the 23rd in Las Vegas, Hollywood actor Nicolas Cage married his latest girlfriend, a makeup artist named Erica Koike. But then, just 4 days later, Nicolas Cage got an annulment, because both of them were drunk as a skunk at the time of the wedding. She already had a serious boyfriend that she was already living with, and a criminal history as long as your arm when it came to DUIs. So Nicolas Cage's fourth marriage lasted a grand total of 92 hours before it ended. Holy Tina Turner song, people. What does love have to do with that at all? And the answer is absolutely nothing. So much of the love in the world today is as cheap and as temporary and throwaway as Charmin toilet paper. But thank God, the love of Jesus Christ is far different and far better than anything this world has to offer. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us why. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series simply called Why Jesus? Looking at all kinds of reasons why, in this pluralistic world we're living in, we should believe in only Jesus and serve only Jesus. So far in this series, we've seen that we should believe in Jesus because He's the only Creator and the only Redeemer. And today we see that we should believe in Jesus because Jesus loves us like nobody else ever has, ever can, or ever will again. And to see that, we turn this morning to Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 17 to 19. In this part of Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is praying for the second time for the people in Ephesus. And in our text today, he's praying that they would know the love of Jesus Christ that surpasses knowledge. And the Holy Spirit is telling us that is exactly the same thing that God wants all the rest of us today to know too. Our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, tells us three reasons why the love of Jesus Christ surpasses knowledge. Three reasons why Jesus Christ loves us like nobody else. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Jesus loves us like nobody else, is because Jesus is love itself. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus, God, is love. Notice, He is not a God of love, He is love. Which means love is not whatever the world says it is, love is whatever God says it is. So love is not blue, love is not blind, love is not a many-splendored thing, it's not just a second-hand emotion or a drunk hookup on Bachelor in Paradise. Regardless of what gay activists say, love is not love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, this is love, that God loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Jesus, God, is love. And I know there's some people hearing this right now saying, Kevin, God of love, are you kidding me? Atheist Richard Dawkins writes this in his book, God Delusion. The God of the Bible is a moral monster who all through the Old Testament just destroys innocent people on a whim without any warning. A bloodthirsty, homicidal, cosmic bully with a hair trigger who does not deserve but still demands our devotion. And folks, how many people today are thinking exactly the same thing? And you know why? Because they don't realize even though God is love, love is not God. Because God is other things too. Like justice and righteousness and holiness. And because God is so mind-blowingly holy, it ticks him off when he sees what he created, what he loves so much, starting to disobey him and destroy itself. So if God didn't get mad about sin, he wouldn't be a God of love. And every single one of those judgments in the Old Testament, God is very patient and gives people all kinds of warnings ahead of time so that they can repent and escape. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 says, in the days of Noah, the thought of every person's heart was only evil continually. So those people weren't exactly innocent. And God had Noah preach repentance to them for over 100 years before that flood finally came. And not one of those people, not one of them ever turned to the Lord. Genesis chapter 18 says there weren't even 10 righteous people in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God used Abraham and Lot and even Melchizedek to warn them ahead of time before those cities were finally destroyed. God sent 10 plagues on the nation of Egypt to try to soften Pharaoh's heart and to save the chosen people from slavery. But Pharaoh hardened his heart. So take your pick. You want the plagues or do you want the slavery? Judges chapter 6. The Israelites totally destroyed the city of Jericho and killed everything that breathed. But again, even before that happened, God sent a fear on those people to warn them. And one of the citizens of Jericho, Rahab the prostitute, did. She turned to the Lord and became an Israelite and even an ancestor of Jesus in the royal family line. So people don't reject God because he's a moral monster. They just don't like him being a moral judge. But see, the more God loves you, the more he hates your sin. So you can't talk about the love of God while ignoring the wrath of God at the same time, Joel Osteen, because the two of them go together. And you can't have the one without the other. And there is absolutely nothing anywhere in this Bible that even suggests that the Lord is not a patient, righteous, merciful, loving God. Jesus, God, is love. And folks, that's what makes Jesus Christ totally different from all the other gods of all the other faith systems. Jesus Christ is a personal God who actually gives a rip about people. Verse 17, no other God dwells in your heart by faith. A God who is so vast, the entire universe can't even contain him. And yet he chooses to live right here and here and here in our hearts. It's only Christianity that has Emmanuel, God, with us. It's only Christianity that calls God Father, our Father who art in heaven. Allah isn't a father because Allah never had a son. So the only thing up in heaven with Allah is his word, the Quran. But see, in Christianity in heaven, there's a Trinity. God in relationship, which means he also wants to have a relationship with you. So in Islam, the Word of God is just a book that you can read. But in Christianity, the Word of God is a person who you can know. Jesus Christ, who came down to this earth and took on human flesh so we could have that relationship with him. Something that Allah would never, ever cheapen himself to do because he's too afraid that you'll give him cooties. Muslims memorize 99 different names for Allah. Not one of them. Not one of them is love. Gee, I wonder why. Hinduism. The Hindu gods hate us human beings so much, if they could come down from heaven, they would kill us all if they had the chance. See the Hindu goddess Kali up there, left-hand corner? Goddess of death? Feel the love. Last October, in a village called Purva in India, that Hindu dad took an axe and decapitated his 8-month-old baby boy as a sacrifice to that demonic thing. Was that love? No way. This is love. Not that we sacrifice our son for God, but that God already sacrificed his only son for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus is love itself. Well, Kevin, the other gods say they love us. They say. Talk is cheap. Jesus left the glory of heaven out of love for us. Jesus became a human being out of love for us. Jesus was tortured on a cross. and was forsaken by the Heavenly Father out of love for us. So Jesus didn't just say it, He did it. And that thing that Jesus did, do we have any idea at all how radical that really was? Back in 1944, during World War II, after the breakout at Normandy, the Allies were driving like crazy towards Germany, but moving so fast they overran their supply lines and had to stop and wait for the supplies to catch up with them, which gave the Germans a chance to rest and regroup and dig in along the old Siegfried line at a place called Hertogen Forest. So August of 1944, the Americans had to cross the Rhine River, but the Germans were threatening to blow up the Ruhr Dam, which would have delayed the invasion of Germany even longer. So the fastest way to the Rhine was through Hertogen Forest. But all of the trees and the hills and ravines negated all of America's air superiority and numbers. And the Germans had mined and booby-trapped the living daylights out of those woods. So from September 1944 to February 1945, the Americans and the Germans slugged it out with over 61,000 soldiers killed, one of the bloodiest sights in the entire Second World War. Now, one of the Nazi German officers who was fighting there was a 25-year-old lieutenant named Friedrich Lengfeldt. And on November the 10th, 1944, he and his company were holed up in an old lodge right next to a minefield when they were attacked by a troop of American soldiers. But they threw them back, and the American soldiers had to retreat. But when they did, one of those soldiers, this one right here, stepped on a mine and started screaming for help. But see, all the other Americans had already run away and left him behind. So that soldier laid out there in that minefield screaming and crying and bleeding to death. Over and over again. And amazingly, incredibly, Lieutenant Friedrich Lengfeldt ordered his men not to fire on any American soldiers who he was sure was going to come back and get him. Well, none of them did. So that soldier laid out there screaming hour after hour. All through the rest of the day, all through the night, into the next morning. Well, finally, 10:30 the next morning, Lieutenant Lengfeldt couldn't take it anymore. So he led a company of his men along a road next to that minefield until they got right even to where that American soldier was suffering. Now, Lieutenant Lengfeldt knew where all the anti-tank mines were because he and his men had buried them. But he didn't know about anti-personnel mines. And he stepped on one, and it blew two huge holes through his chest and through his back. And he died later on that night, but not before he got his men to rescue that American soldier, patch him up, and send him back to enemy lines. Folks, that American soldier was his enemy, who just hours before was trying to kill him. And yet that lieutenant sacrificed himself in order to save his life. So 50 years later, October 1994, they put up a monument at Hertogen Forest Cemetery in honor of what Lieutenant Friedrich Lengfeldt had done. And at the bottom of that monument are written these words, a takeoff of John 15:13. No man hath greater love than he layeth down his life for his enemy. And how many all realize that is exactly the same thing that Jesus Christ did for us at the cross? Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. For a friend or a good person, somebody might possibly die. But God demonstrates His love for us like this. That even while we were yet sinners and enemies of Jesus and fighting against Him, Christ still died for us. That's the love of Jesus Christ. That is love itself. The first reason why Jesus Christ loves us like nobody else is because Jesus is love itself. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why Jesus loves us like nobody else. Not only because Jesus is love itself, but also because Jesus' love is unconditional. Unlike the love of the world, which is anything but. So not, I love you, period, but I love you if. Love that's based on performance and production. Joe Quenneville coached the Chicago Blackhawks to 3 Stanley Cup championships. But then 2018, after 2 down years, they fired him. The second winningest head coach in the entire history of the NHL. But see, what have you done for me lately? That's the love of the world. People love themselves. Last August, 30-year-old Sophie Tanner committed sologamy, which means she married herself in a ceremony in Washington, D.C. But then just 7 weeks later, she cheated on herself by going out on a date with a guy. And Sophie Tanner says today she still hasn't decided whether or not she's going to divorce herself over it. People, it's crazy. Where's the real love? Last Sunday, on an Australian Airlines flight, a female passenger flipped her long hair over the back of her headrest so the guy behind her couldn't even see the monitor. No wonder they don't let you have scissors on an airplane. Where's the consideration? Internet trolls, cyberbullying, GoFundMe scams, drive-by shootings. Where's the love? I'll tell you where it is. It's in Jesus Christ. And that love is unconditional, meaning circumstances don't matter. Not I love you if, but I love you no matter what. And no other faith system in the world has that. Muslims say that Allah is gracious and merciful and compassionate, but only to the people who obey Him. The Hadith tells us one day a woman was brought to the Prophet Muhammad who was pregnant because of adultery. And Muslim law said she could have been stoned. But Muhammad said, let her live and give birth to her baby. And then stone her. Gee, how merciful. John chapter 8 tells us one day Jesus had a woman brought to Him who was caught in the act of adultery too. And Old Testament law said she could have been stoned. But what did Jesus tell that woman? In John chapter 8 verse 11, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's merciful. That's loving. Quran chapter 2 verse 190. Says Allah only loves people who love Him back. So no unconditional love at all in Islam. But see, Jesus loves even the people who don't love Him back at all. Like Megan Rapinoe, the purple-haired, foul-mouthed, anti-American, anti-Christian, lesbian activist soccer player. How many of y'all realize Jesus loves her? And how do we know that? For God so loved the world, whosoever will may come. And whosoever means everybody. Everybody. And you know what's even more amazing than that? Jesus Christ loves me. Because I wouldn't love me at all. My patience is so thin, I could get road rage pushing a shopping cart in a grocery store. Everything I put on is malware. My birthstone is peanut M&M, and the only thing ripped about me are a pair of skinny jeans I couldn't even get above my knees. Jesus may tolerate me. He may accept me. He may put up with me, but love me? Yeah. And He loves you too. Even if you can't lose weight. Even if you're same-sex attracted and token. And addicted to porn. Even if your kids hate your guts and won't even talk to you. Even if you're on food stamps. Even if you got a divorce. Even if you've had an abortion. Even if you never make honor roll. Even if you don't care. Even if you don't want anything to do with it. Even if you don't believe it. Jesus Christ loves you and there's not a darn blessed thing you can do about it. And there's some people listening to this sermon right now. That is exactly the kind of love that you're looking for. Because you've never had it. Have you? Because you were rejected. And abused. And molested. And abandoned. And treated like that gunk that you scrape off the bottom of your shoe. By the people who are supposed to love you the most. Your old man went AWOL and walked out on you. But see, Jesus Christ will never, ever do anything like that to you. Jesus will never deny your friend request. Jesus will never dish you on Facebook. Jesus will never fat shame you or ask you for naked pictures. And at Christmas time, Jesus will not just text you a Merry Xmas from 2,000 miles away. Jesus will be there at your house, just like He promised. As well as every other day of the year. Jesus loves you. And that's where your value and your worth comes from. And I found that out by experience. All the while I was growing up, I was fat. I was so fat, I'd go to the zoo, the elephants would throw peanuts at me. And in the summertime, at the swimming pool, all the other kids would call me a girl and tell me that I needed a bra. Any idea what that does to a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy? But see, I never committed suicide. I never got wasted. I never took a gun to school. And you know why? Because even though I wasn't saved, I had enough Sunday school in me to know this Bible is true. And there is a God who loved me, even if nobody else did. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. There is your reason for living. But Kevin, people think, I don't care what people think about you. The only thing that matters is what God thinks about you. You are a child of the living God. You are a special creation of God, the crown of His creation and the apple of God's eye. Jesus thinks you are to die for, and if Jesus had a tattoo, your name would be on it. That's love. And folks, we've got to realize we are not going to find that anywhere in anybody else. Pop singer Britney Spears. Here's a list of just some of the boyfriends and significant others that Britney Spears has had over the years. Mario Lopez, Justin Timberlake, Wade Robson, Fred Durst, Colin Farrell, Columbus Short, Jason Alexander, Kevin Federline, Jonathan Rotan, Isaac Cohen, Howie Day, Adonis Galib, Jason Trawick, David Lucado, Charlie Ebersole, and now Sam Asghari. And you know why so many? Because Britney Spears does not know the love of Jesus Christ, so she just keeps on trying to find it in one guy after the other. And how many people listen to the sermon right now, right here in this room, are doing exactly the same thing? You're looking for love in all the wrong places, trying to get from some guy or some girl what you can only get from Jesus Christ. And let me ask you this morning, how much clickbait are you going to go through before you realize you can only find that love in Jesus? But Kevin, I do want a relationship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But listen, you take care of your relationship with him. He will take care of your relationship with them. You need to find that love you're looking for in Jesus. And what can happen if we don't? Last October, 14-year-old Molly Russell from Manchester, England, committed suicide after seeing on an Instagram post how she could do it. That girl's parents loved her to the moon. But this is what she said in the suicide note that she left them. Mom and Dad, this is not on you, it's on me. You loved me more than I could have ever hoped for, and so many other people in my life too. But all that love has just never been enough, because there's still a hole in my heart that nobody has ever been able to fill or heal, and it ruins everything I do. And I'm just tired of hurting from it. Every single one of us, every human relationship we have ever had or ever will, has either failed or will fail to satisfy us. The Mark Ronson Band sings that song. I don't want to see you go. I want somebody to love me. Why did it take so long to know? I want somebody to love me. Dear Mr. Lonely, how much do they know me? I want somebody to love me. And how many people listening to the sermon right now are feeling exactly the same way that that singer is? Every single one of us, every single human being who has ever lived is looking for that unconditional love from Jesus Christ. Even her. Back in 1960, a 41-year-old radical atheist named Madeline Murray O'Hare from Baltimore, Maryland, got so ticked off about her two sons, William and John, having to do devotions and say the Lord's Prayer in school, she filed a lawsuit. and 1963 got the United States Supreme Court to outlaw all mandatory prayer and Bible reading in public schools. Madeline Murray O'Hare railed against public displays of Christianity, crosses, prayer, you name it. She filed all kinds of lawsuits in the name of the separation of church and state, formed an organization called the American Atheist. She was on every TV show from Johnny Carson to Phil Donahue and was named the most hated woman in America during her day. But funny thing, every Christmas Eve, no matter where she was in the United States, Madeline Murray O'Hare would find a church somewhere and slip into a back pew because she wanted to hear those old songs, because she said there was something in those old hymns that spoke to her heart. Well, that something was Jesus Christ. But the shame of it is, she never ever once turned to Him. Then August of 1995, Madeline Murray O'Hare, her son John, and adopted daughter Robin, the first family of atheism, just vanished. And 5 years later, their remains were found in a shallow grave on a remote ranch in Rayall County, Texas. They'd been murdered by another atheist in that organization. And when they went through all of Madeline Murray O'Hare's journals, over 2,000 pages worth, they saw that she had written this same phrase over and over again, "Somebody, somewhere, love me. Somebody, somewhere, love me." She was looking for that same love that every single one of us is. And that ache in her soul never went away. And see, there was somebody somewhere who loved her. And that was Jesus Christ. But she made the biggest mistake of her life, rejecting the very person that she really wanted. Well, Madeline Murray O'Hare's other son, William Murray, grew up to be a filthy rich businessman before the wheels came off. And he started drinking and drugging and lost everything that he had. And one day, he stumbled drunk into a 12-step program. And what do you know? His very first group meeting started with the Lord's Prayer. The very prayer that his mom had got kicked out of school. And God used that prayer to set his soul on fire and to make him realize how much Jesus Christ loved him. And he started reading the Gospels. And one day in 1980, William Murray got down on his knees, confessed his sins, asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and be his Lord and Savior. William Murray got saved. And went on to become a Baptist minister and came out with a book called My Life Without God. And to this day, he travels all over the world preaching to everybody who will listen about the saving love of Jesus Christ. Folks, the son of the most famous atheist in the history of this country has led thousands of people to Christ, the very God that his mother hated. Does God have a sense of humor or what? This is what William Murray said. "I was looking for exactly the same kind of love my mother was her entire life. Real love. And I finally found it in Christ. And when I accepted Christ, He filled that emptiness in my heart. And that love is so incredible, I still wonder every day, how could I have ever hated Him like I did? How could I have not believed in Him? How could I have ever cursed Him or doubted Him or pushed Him away?" There's people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. Let me ask you, why are you pushing Him away? Because there's an emptiness in your heart too, isn't there? And we all have that. Because our sin pushes God away and puts a death penalty on our head. But see, 2,000 years ago, God poured out His love for us in Jesus Christ, who died to take our place and to take away our sin, and rose from the dead to give us a brand new life. That unconditional love that you are looking for, you will find it in Jesus. And don't you dare let anybody, even anybody in your own family, keep you from having it. The second reason why Jesus loves us like nobody else is because His love is unconditional. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why Jesus loves us like nobody else. Not only because He is love itself, not only because His love is unconditional, but third, because His love is eternal and never stops. And that's exactly what this text is trying to tell us over and over again. Verse 17, Jesus dwells in our heart. And that word "dwells" in the original Greek doesn't just mean Jesus is going to crash there for a weekend. It means He's homesteading there for good. Rooted and established means putting down roots and laying a foundation, which means Jesus ain't just renting, He's buying. And Jesus is building a home as a permanent residence in your heart. And He ain't going anywhere. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3, Jesus says, I love you with an everlasting love. So BFF and TLF for sure. His love is eternal. And verse 18 says, we will be spending the rest of eternity trying to comprehend it. As wide enough to include the whole world. Deep enough to reach down to the lowest sinner. High enough to take us all to heaven. And long enough to last for eternity. My love is warmer than the warmest sunshine. Softer than a sigh. My love is deeper than the deepest ocean. Wider than the sky. My love is brighter than the brightest star that shines in the night above. And there is nothing in this world that will ever change my love. How many of y'all realize that's the number one song on Jesus' playlist? Because Jesus' love for you will never, ever stop. Ever. And we need to remember that because there's so many kinds of love in our world today that aren't permanent at all. The average teenage boyfriend-girlfriend relationship today lasts 45 days. And even shorter if there's sex involved. One third of all new marriages that start today won't last 5 years. One half of all new marriages that start today won't last 10 years. And divorce is so common right now, couples are now doing what's called starter marriages. Just like starter houses. Because they don't expect to be living in them for very long. Sue and I have been to weddings where the bride and groom take their vow. They say things like, as long as our love will last. Or, as long as our love endures. As long as we both shall love. Whatever happened to forever? Or at least, till death do us part. Well, they don't even think that far. Here today, gone tomorrow. Tonight you're mine completely. You give your love so sweetly. But tell me now, and I won't ask again, will you still love me tomorrow? Well, see, Jesus will, because the love of Jesus Christ is not just a prom date or a hookup or a one-night stand. It lasts forever. So Jesus is never going to dump you. He is never going to break up with you. Jesus is never going to cheat on you with somebody He thinks is a lot more fun. Jesus is not going to leave you or divorce you when you get MS or cancer. He loves you forever. And there is absolutely nothing in this world that you could ever do that would ever make Him stop loving you. But even though Jesus Christ will love you no matter what you do, Jesus Christ will not save you no matter what you do. God's love for us is unconditional, but God's relationship with us is not. That is conditional. Verse 19, you've got to know the love of Jesus Christ. And that word know in the Greek literally means to know by experience. So to know the love of Jesus, you need to know Jesus. By confessing your sin and putting your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross and asking Him to come into your heart and start working in your life. And I know when I say that, all kinds of people are thinking, well, Kevin, Jesus hung out with prostitutes and gangbangers and gay people and He accepted them just like they were. Yeah. But notice, He also changed them too. Yes, Jesus loves you so much, He will accept you just exactly like you are. But Jesus also loves you too much to leave you like you are. So if you really know the real love of Jesus Christ, it will change you. When Hollywood actor Chris Pratt was 16 years old, he was living in a van on a beach in Hawaii, drinking and drugging and shagging every girl he could find. Until one day, a Christian guy named Henry from Jews for Jesus walked up to him, pointed and said, God has great things for you if you just turn to Him. And invited him to a church service. And what do you know? Chris Pratt went. And 2 days later, he prayed to receive Christ and got saved. And when he did, all the drinking and the drugging and the shagging totally and completely stopped. And God eventually took him to Hollywood, where he's been in every movie from Jurassic World to Guardians of the Galaxy and everything in between. And at the 2017 Teen Choice Awards, Chris Pratt said to millions and millions of fans watching by television, you need to live for Christ. What a testimony. Now, is Chris Pratt perfect? No. November 2018, he and his wife, Anna Faris, got a divorce. And just this last month, he got married again to author Katherine Schwarzenegger, who is also a Christian. Christianity doesn't make you perfect, but it puts you in a relationship with the one who is perfect and starts that process of making you more and more like him and gives you a life that is perfect for you. All because of his love. Jesus will never, ever, ever, ever stop loving you. Which means if you walk away from him and there's still time, you can come back. Backsliders, welcome. Now, Islam, no way. Quran chapter 3 verse 32, Allah loves not those who separate from the faith. So in Islam, you leave, you're done. So it's not Islam, it's Christianity that has the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus will never, ever, ever stop loving you, which means as long as you're breathing, as long as you're alive, you walk away, he will never, ever quit calling out to you. Last June the 17th, a federal jury in Peoria, Illinois, convicted 30-year-old Brent Christensen of the murder of 26-year-old Chinese U of I college student Yingying Zhang. Kidnapped her, took her to his apartment, raped and tortured her, beat her to death with a baseball bat, and then stuffed her body in a 6-foot-long duffel bag. And to this day, Brent Christensen has never told anybody where that body is. Well, this past Tuesday, during the sentencing phase of that trial, Brent Christensen's mom, Ellen Williams, took the stand to try to testify on his behalf in the sentencing. And as she cried, she said this, "You need to know that my son had all kinds of mental and emotional problems growing up. Night terrors, depression, psychotic episodes, all kinds of mental health issues, and he never really healed from them. And what that caused him to do was so horrible, and most of all to that poor woman and her family. But no matter how awful his crime was, I still love him. And I always will love him, no matter what. That will never diminish. And I beg you to spare his life, because if he's executed, it would be absolutely devastating." People, can you imagine how horrified that mom was to know that her son was actually capable of doing something like that? Unbelievable. But see, parents love their kids unconditionally, no matter what. And she was pleading for his life while he still had a chance. Just like Jesus pleads for ours. Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever, ever stop loving you up until the very moment it really is too late. Until I started buying Toyotas, the best car I ever had was a 1993 Hunter Green Buick Regal that I bought in 1997. Took care of that thing from stem to stern, changed oil every 2,500 miles. Best car I ever had. And I know it sounds crazy, but you get attached to your car. And I don't know if it's a guy thing or just a stupid thing, but I love that car. Me and that car had history. Sue and I took that car on a lot of vacations. That was the last car my dad ever rode in. July of 2005, a man named Stephen Aubrey, who lived about a mile south of where Sue and I live, killed his wife and buried her body in the backyard of his property. And when police came to arrest him, he jumped on his motorcycle, ditched it on a road about a mile east of where Sue and I live, walked through the cornfield, came up to the front door of our house and said, "Give me your car." My Buick Regal. I said, "Well, I'm not going to give you my car." He pulled out a gun, said, "I don't want to hurt you. I don't have to kill her either." Talking about Sue. So I gave him the car keys and off he went with my Buick Regal. Drove it around until early the next morning. When police spotted him, he pulled into a tree nursery, got out and committed suicide by cop. So the next week, Sue and I had to go up to the Aurora City Police Station and identify that car and claim it and bring it back home. And they told me if he had used that car in the commission of another crime, we would have never gotten it back. I loved that car. But over the years, the miles started to pile up. So in 2009, I traded in my Buick Regal for a brand new Toyota Camry at David Bruce and Bourbonnais. And the salesman told me he was looking for a really good used car for his 16-year-old son. I said, "Well, that Buick Regal is a good car. I took care of that." The only problem was you couldn't adjust the volume on the radio. I loved that car. But I still signed all the papers, signed the title away, drove away, said goodbye to my Buick Regal, wondering what in the world was going to happen to it. Well, didn't take very long to find out, because 3 weeks later, I got an impound notice from the city of Chicago. That Buick Regal had been towed to a pound lot on Doty Avenue, and if I didn't show up there with $250 in the next 10 days, that car was going to be destroyed and sold for scrap. I took care of that car for 12 years. And in 3 weeks, somebody else drove it into the ground and wrecked it and totaled it. But see, there wasn't a blessed thing I could do about it, because that car had gotten away from me and it wasn't mine anymore. But I still loved that car. And folks, if losing a stupid car hurt me that much, letting that stupid car get away from me, how much more do you think it hurts Jesus when you get away from Him? There's people sitting in this church right now, listen to this word. For years and years, you had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and He took care of you, and He kept you going, and He saw you through the worst times of your entire life. You and Him had history. But however long ago, for whatever reason, you got away from Him. And not because He let go of you, you let go of Him. And it breaks His heart to see what's happening to you right now. Because He knows any other kind of life outside of a life with Him is just going to wreck you and total you out and destroy you. And see, there's not a blessed thing that He can do about it. Because you got away from Him and you're not His anymore. But there is something you can do about it. It may have been too late for that Buick Regal, but it's not too late for you. Because Jesus Christ has never, ever, ever stopped loving you. Which means you can come back to Him today, right now, before you are totaled out and wrecked and destroyed for good. And it really is too late to do anything about it. Romans chapter 8, verse 39. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He loves you with an everlasting love. Come back to Him for that everlasting life. You know what's really sad? One generation after the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the Ephesians in the book of Ephesus about the love of Jesus Christ, the disciple John wrote these words in the book of Revelation to the same group of people. You have lost your first love. So what Paul prays for here in this text this morning, what he prayed for, was lost in one generation. So the question is this morning, what are we going to do with the love of Jesus Christ? Why Jesus? Because He loves us like nobody else ever has before, can now, or ever could again. And that kind of love demands some kind of response. Yes or no, accept or reject. Right here, right now. What's your choice? Lord, I know that there are many of us listening to this sermon right now who are already believers. Lord, we trust You as our Lord and Savior. There are many of us, Lord, who need to come back to You today. Because we have forsaken our first love. We have walked away. We have turned our backs. We haven't drawn close to You like You've asked us to. I just pray, Lord, for many people here who do not know You as their Savior. I just pray for people listening to this sermon now who haven't made that commitment that they would do that today. Realize they are looking for a love that they are never going to find in this world from anybody in this world. It only comes from You. And I pray today that they would claim it. Confess their sins and put their faith in what Jesus did for them at the cross. And just receive that salvation. Pray, Lord, that You would just draw us close to You. Thank You, Lord, for us believers. You keep calling us back to Yourself over and over again. Help us to hear that voice and follow it back to You. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.